world of handmade business can be tough when trying to monetize what you love. We've got truth bombs and motivation too, to help you find your way through. Passion to profit, let's start today, 'cause the world needs what you create. Tune in right now, it's your shot to learn how to be a handmade boss.
Hello everyone, and welcome back to How to Be a Handmade Boss. So I am recording video on this one, which I haven't done for the first three, just because A, I was batch recording content anyway. So I thought, well, you might as well put makeup on, do your hair. So there is video on this particular one. So we're just kind of testing things out and seeing what works for us behind the scenes, which is another great thing that I would always say for you guys to do. So today we are going to be talking about how to resurrect a dead shop. Now, I don't necessarily love the term dead shop because I think there is always kind of levels to this. You know, a dead shop to me would be something that you haven't posted on for like 3-4 years. It's just there. The listings have long expired. You've not sold anything in those 2-3 years. And really, it is just sat there not doing a great deal, right? So, you know, there are certain levels. I wouldn't describe someone as, you know, who hasn't had a sale in maybe 4 to 6 months as a dead shop. I would more describe that as a bit of a slump, a bit of a kind of a dip, really. So I'm going to be talking about this today and kind of what you can do to help to really resurrect a dead shop or help a shop to kind of get back to where it was before. Now, what I will say is that there is a lot of nuances with this. So it's like I say, it's such a loaded question. It really does depend on the current shop. You know, if someone says to me, Steph, I want a one-to-one with you, I want a coaching call with you, I want to join your course, help me with this shop, then I would then have the person there, the shop there for me to be able to do some kind of deep dive in this. But for just general advice purposes, this is kind of the general advice that I would give, right? So I think the first thing to do is to always dig into your previous stats, okay? This largely depends on when things really started to drop off, whether you have stats in, from the last 6 months, the last year. But really what I would do is that I would look at the stats sort of 6 months before the drop off and 6 months after. So this will probably take you a couple of hours at least, really, and order it in some way that you like. That can be like a journal, that can be a Word document, a spreadsheet, and just look at things like, okay, what was my conversion rate this month? What was my conversion rate that month? This month, and then look at the drop-off and kind of see, okay, did my conversion rate drop off here? Then also do the same with the views. Look at, okay, what were my views from Etsy search? What were my views in this month from Instagram, Pinterest, whatever? And really kind of dig into, okay, what was going on in each month? And this is actually something that I would say you should be doing every month anyway. And in phase three of the HBSA, which is the Handmade Bosses Success Academy, if this is the first podcast episode that you're listening to, we do go into depth in this. And we do really show you exactly what to track, where to track it, where to find it, what it means, how to diagnose your shop. And that's just like phase three out of the 5-phase course. So it is something that I would say to really dig into your stats and really see how far back you can remember what you were doing and when. And actually in future, tracking this stuff is going to make it a lot easier if you ever do have a bit of a dip again, right? So personally for me, I would be looking at all of the stats, doing all of the things, and just basically making sure that I have a good factual picture as to what was kind of going on. And also look at things like, was something going on in your life as well? Because energetically, if we have a lot going on behind the scenes, we aren't going to show up in the same capacity if we are stressed versus if we are not stressed, right? You know? So definitely look at that. Definitely look at, okay, was I really, like I said, showing up behind the scenes? Was I creating new engaging products, or was I just going through the motions with this? Okay. So also what I will say as well is that you also want to be looking at the marketing side of things. And this very much falls into, was I posting as much before the drop-off versus afterwards? And what I would say as well is that when I say this, a lot of people are like, yeah, but Steph, like even during that month when it dropped off, I was posting a lot. There is a big difference between posting consistently throughout before the drop-off, mid-drop-off, and post-drop-off to you saw sales were slow for like 2 or 3 weeks and you started panic posting. Because it will take probably 2 to 6 months for even your social media to kind of pick back up again, you know, when you've got slow sales and when things have been a little bit on the slow side. So don't just assume that posting mid drop off to post drop off is going to really make it a big tick in the box of, yes, I've been consistent, because it does take time. So that's the first thing that I would say. The second thing is, once you know what's going on with your stats, and there's a bunch of stuff that, you know, if we had a one-to-one call, like I said, or we were working together on a more one-on-one basis, that would be where we would go, okay, let's sit down and let's look at this, because the stats paint a bigger story than just numbers. There's so much more involved in that. And I'm always saying, make changes based off of facts, not feelings. I think as handmade business owners, we are so tempted to always make changes based off of the feelings that we have, how we're feeling in that moment. You know, I was chatting to Joanne Hawker from March Meet the Maker. I always get that mixed up. And we were like briefly talking about this on a recent live. And something that I think we all do, we all have a bad week, we all have a bad month. And then what happens? We start to make changes because we're feeling a way about something, or we start to stop doing that thing because it doesn't feel good right now. And it's really a case of just looking at it as a non-emotional decision. And it's hard, you know, I'm not saying it's easy when you're feeling like down or annoyed or angry or, you know, whatever. And this even works as well for the opposite as well. If you're feeling really happy, really joyful, I would say don't make decisions then either, because you are more likely to say yes to things because you're in a good mood that perhaps you wouldn't ordinarily say yes to, right? So going back to really looking at the stats, this is where looking at the emotional decisions versus the factual ones, okay? So just remember that. So also doing some kind of relaunch as well, because once you know what might have caused the drop off, you know, okay, well, I wasn't doing this, I was doing that. And this is why I say to track everything, because it can be so subtle. It can be something as easy as the tone of voice that you are writing your Instagram captions in. It can be something as nuanced as maybe you were posting more stories about behind the scenes, and maybe like before you dropped off, maybe you were selling a little bit too hard and that turned some people off. I'm not saying that would cause a dramatic drop off, of course, but obviously you can imagine if you layer those things one on top of the other, you're then going to get a bunch of clustered things that might have potentially kicked a drop off, right? So then that's when I would say, let's do an epic relaunch. And what this is that it is basically looking at, I don't want to just open up my shop again and just expect people to know that I'm back, expect people to know that I'm selling this thing or I'm doing this or this is where I'm at right now, you know? It's a bit like when a shop in a shopping mall has been closed for like the longest time. And then, you know, you're like walking past a shop every week, every month, and you're seeing that it's closed. And then you're like, oh, one day it's just open again. And you didn't really know about it. And you're a bit confused. Oh, when did that happen? What do they do now? Like, what's the dealio? And you kind of need to reintroduce people to you, your brand, your shop. And that is really what a whole relaunch is all about. And this is really where, again, if we were working together and in the HBSA as well, we could certainly coach you through that and kind of say, you know, this looks like a really good timeline. Let's look at the kind of things that we're going to do to relaunch your shop. I guess it's almost like you can think about it like, you know, those open days that you have in like schools, colleges, all that kind of thing. That is basically like them doing a bit of a relaunch and saying, we're still here. This is what we do. This is our new stuff that we've got. Come and have a look. Come and have a little nosy round and see if it's right for you. And relaunching a shop is basically the same kind of pattern. So this is where I would say it's really good to have some kind of plan in place. And also as well, I would say if you haven't already read my book, which this podcast is sort of named after, I guess, it's called How to Be a Handmade Boss. It is a great place, you know, especially if you've had a shop that has just been dead for like 6 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years, and you're like, I need to kind of get back into it again. That book is a really good getting back into it. Yeah, it kind of goes over not foundational business lessons, because I almost think that's kind of a bit of a brush off, but it goes through a lot of things that you will need to know going forward with your shop, things that maybe perhaps the last time you didn't get quite right, and maybe like you need to pivot and change things up a bit. So relaunching, I mean, this is a podcast episode all on its own, in and of itself, talking about how to do a relaunch. But the basic steps would be to look at some dates, and I would make it as spacious as you can. Don't be like, right, I want to relaunch it next week. I'm going to do this. Like, give yourself a month, 6 weeks to really meticulously plan this thing out. The next thing would be, what am I going to include? Do I want to do a competition? Do I want to go live every day? You know, do I want to do this, this, and this, you know, and really look at how you want your relaunch to look like. There's no right or wrong answer. And I know I'm going to get questions of people like, do I need to do reels? Do I need to do that? And really the answer to that is do whatever feels good for you. Push yourself a little bit out of your comfort zone, but not so much that you're dreading doing this thing. And just really look at what sort of, I guess, connections with the customers are you going to have. So this, like I said, this could be content, this could be videos, this could be reels, this could be posts, this could be whatever. It could be 7 days worth of engaging emails. Just really look at, if I was announcing myself, if I was like a caterpillar to butterfly moment, how would I announce my new self? How would I bring something back into the world again? And I think even just thinking like this starts to get you excited, thinking about all of the new changes and the new things you're going to do within your shop. I'm not saying you have to like do completely new products, completely new branding, but certainly look at those things, put some attention towards those things and think, all right, okay, do I need to change anything here? The next kind of thing on this is to have a home hub. And the home hub is something that I talked about a lot throughout my most recent post-a-thon challenge, which probably when you are listening to this is gone by many, many weeks ago, but it's potentially something that we are going to run every single year. So keep a beady eye out for that. But it is basically looking at this whole thing of, let's not overdo it when it comes to social media. Let's not spread ourselves thin. Let's instead look at what is the one place where I can nurture my customers, where I can keep in touch with them, that I know what I'm doing when it comes to posting. And what is that one place that I can actively use to just do that thing when it comes to social media? So for example, my home hub for the longest time was Facebook groups. The Facebook group was really the place that I posted, and that was it. I had YouTube as well, but really it was the Facebook group was my home hub. That was the place where if I had an announcement or if I had something exciting to share, I would go to the Facebook group. And then sort of now I would say it's more Instagram. That is my home hub because I love the platform. It is a platform that I can use. I'm pretty good at using it. I am adept at knowing what the different post types are, what the algorithm wants from me. Can I reach that particular standard? Yes, I can. And these are all of the things that I think gets lost when you are, you know, when you have Pinterest, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, TikTok. Like when you've got all of those things, it becomes so overwhelming and you end up sat there thinking, oh, I need to put something out today, but I don't know what. And it's not necessarily enough to put the same content on every single platform all at the same time. there's a lot more nuances involved in that. You can't just kind of go, I'm going to cross post this across everything, because then all you're really doing is you are really just kind of saying, I can't be bothered. And I know, I get it. I've done this before. And this was my content strat for the longest time. And this is why I can kind of categorically say that doing that actually turns people off. And then it's just a complete waste of time. Whereas if you have a home hub, if you have that one place where you nurture people, that is where the magic starts to really happen. Okay. So look at a home hub, look at how am I going to keep in contact with people moving. Have you ever looked at your shop and thought, why isn't this stuff selling? Well, as you know, I'm dedicated to making sure you have everything you need to get your business moving in the right direction. And with my latest free challenge, not only is it going to answer that question, hey, how can I list stuff that actually sells? But it's also going to help you shake your shop loose and really ensure you're getting eyeballs and sales. So the challenge is the Listathon, and it is our List More and Sell More challenge. Now, this is running from June the 3rd and it's completely free. So if you want to get your shop moving in the right direction, I would love for you to join me. So to join this free challenge, head to handmadebosses.com/listathon, or you can simply check the show notes. Forward. Where is that place? Because you want to drive your own traffic, okay? And this is where, and I always teach a two-pronged approach. It's always number one, utilize the traffic that Etsy is driving you. But number two, drive your own traffic specifically for purposes such as this. When you are doing a relaunch and you are wanting to get some hype involved and bring people back to you, okay? So this is where having a home hub is awesome, because then you just have one place to focus. You haven't got a bunch of things you've got to do, a bunch of content pieces. It's just one place, okay? So then we are looking at driving our own traffic. And this is something that is as important for a bit of a relaunch and also important for the future proofing and algorithm proofing, and definitely I'd say recession proofing your business. Because when you are just relying on Etsy traffic, you are then looking at one half of the puzzle piece, really. And that can be affected by multiple different things. It can be affected by the platform's up and downs. It can be affected by marketing decisions that the platform has done. You know, it can be affected by so, so much, which is why driving your own traffic is just another great piece of the puzzle. And people will often say to me, well, Steph, that sounds nice, but can I have a successful shop just by, you know, not having to drive my own traffic? The answer to that is yes, you can. However, when things do change, when you do have dips, they're going to be much more difficult to recover from when you haven't got that ready-made, nurtured, warm audience of people who are hyper interested in you. That's just going to be very, very hard to do that when you just have the Etsy traffic and you're constantly focusing on eyeballs, 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 new people, new people, new people. And this is, again, the whole system that I teach within the HBSA course is looking at the eyeballs that you're driving to your shop, but you're not just losing them forever if they don't buy. Because, you know, let's be honest, probably 95 to 99% of people that come into your shop are never going to buy. And that's okay. That's really, really normal. So don't think that your shop's weird for, you know, not having a 10, 20, 30% conversion rate, because that is normal, you know? So what are we doing with those people that we've lost? And this is really what, like, the main system that the course is all about. Is not always looking for new people, but also looking at the other people that we're losing and how can we bring them back into our world again. So that's kind of the top, I say, four things. The next thing I would say is to add listings often. So post big bang, I'm back, yay, the shop's open again. Start to add listings often. Doesn't have to be every day. doesn't have to be five times a week. Something that I've done is I've tested doing three times a week, and that seems to be like a nice kind of minimal standard. Now, this is listings, by the way. This is not products. It's actually something that I recommend if you've been with me for a while, is to A/B test the hell out of everything in your shop. That is pictures, that is SEO, that is colors, that's descriptions, that's attributes, like really test everything. So what happens when you test things? You duplicate a listing, you change one thing, and then at that point, I would put the listing in your drafts, and those are the listings that you are publishing three times a week, four times a week, whatever. As to how long you got to be doing this, I would say really until you start to see an uptick in sales again. Because what basically happens is that really the more listings you have, and again, I want to definitely say here that it's not products. I'm not saying you have to make new products every single week, but just new listings of those products. Because imagine that you have a, and if you're watching on video, I'm holding up this candle that I always seem to use. Imagine you have a candle, right? And you have just listed that as a dark honey and tobacco candle, hand poured candle. What about for those people who aren't searching, looking for hand-poured dark honey and tobacco candle? What about those guys who are looking for a Father's Day gift or a Mother's Day gift or a Grandparent's Day gift or da-da-da-da? They're going to be completely missed. So even just that instance, talking about SEO, that is something that to A/B test, to have different listings for different keyword focus points, it's just one way that you can get more listings out of that one candle product, okay? And not only that, you know, we are looking at different gifting occasions, of course, but different uses as well, different reasons to buy. And then once you've done the whole SEO thing, then it's okay, well, let's test having different pictures at the front of our listing. Let's see what pictures get people to click. Test that. So you can see how quite easily you can have lots of different listings from one product. Now, a question I do also get as well is, does this look confusing for people coming in? The easiest way to kind of stop this, personally, I don't think it does. It's kind of like when you go into a clothes shop and they have one yellow jumper in the window, one yellow jumper in the jumpers bit, one yellow jumper in the yellow bit, one yellow jumper in the spring summer outfits bit. Like, shops and retail and e-commerce do this all of the time. So don't think it's going to look weird, because this is a very common thing to have the same product in multiple places within a store, an e-commerce store. It's something that happens all the time, right? But if you are feeling a way about it, what you can do is you can actually sort these A/B tests within categories within your shop, okay? So that is adding listings often. Now, the last kind of strand of this would be to use ads on products that are selling really well. And this is something that I would say would happen at the tail end of this whole venture of resurrecting a dead shop, is when you start to get sales on specific items, give them a bit of a boost by putting ads on there. Can literally be $1 a day per item, but putting some kind of ad budget behind it will just add fuel to the fire, and it will then start to boost you more and more and more. And by the time you've done all of this, and this can take 4 to 5 months, like don't think this is like a 2-week process. This is something that will take time, and it could happen quickly for you. And if it does, I'm so happy for you, but it could also happen a little bit slower. And again, doing this whole process will definitely help you with this. So putting ads on there will definitely have that initial boost as well. All of these things, so that is looking at your stats, the relaunch, having your home hub, driving your own traffic, adding listings often, A/B testing them, and using ads on products that have sold well, are all things that will help you to resurrect a dead shop. Now, this is the generic advice that I would give. Obviously, like I've said over and over again throughout this whole episode, if we were working together on more of a one-to-one capacity in the HBSA course, I could give you a bit more tailored advice, but this is kind of the generic advice that I would give. And yeah, I would love to hear from you. I'd love for you to let me know your big ahas from this episode. I'd also love to hear if you've tried any of these, if it has worked. And yeah, I'm literally, as I said, Instagram is my home hub. So I'm always in the DMs. I'm always looking at comments and things. So let me know. I would love to know if you liked this episode. And if you did as well, I'd love it if you would leave us a quick review, because it means the world to me. I read each and every one, and it helps the whole podcast be boosted. to new people. And also do follow me as well on the podcast place that you are listening to this on, so that you get a little ping whenever a new episode goes up. But thank you all so much for listening to this episode of How to Resurrect a Dead Shop. Thank you so much for tuning in to How to Be a Handmade Boss. And if you're eager to boost your Etsy sales within just 7 days, then be sure to join my most popular free training at handmadebosses.com/conversion. You can also find the link in the show notes as well. Keep an eye out for our next episode, where we'll be continuing our journey towards handmade business success together. And until then, keep crafting and stay inspired, because the world really does need those special creations that only you can make.